The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
There you have proof that that is the question we are all asking more than any other. The one day we'll all be 30 seconds before the flat line. We better know how to have a conversation with God.
Co-founder of the 24/7 prayer movement, Pete Gregg, helps us know how to pray.
How do I hear God without kissing my brains goodbye? How do I get my head around disappointments and the fact that prayer doesn't always seem to work? And how do I see more miracles? And how do I grow in a relationship with Him?
Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Welcome to Life Today. About 3 years ago, I started a study on prayer just for my own life because I felt it was one of the areas of my own life that was weakest. You know, I love to study the Word of God. I love to speak, but I felt like my prayer life needed some help. So I ordered as many books as I could from, and one of them was this. And one of the things that reasons I ordered it was because I thought the title was brilliant. Dirty Glory by a guy called Pete Gregg. And so I am very excited to welcome him today to the show. Thanks for being with me.
It's a joy to be with you, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
You know, the first thing that I noticed when I read the first few pages of Dirty Glory, that was I was late in getting on the bus. It was clear that 10 years before you ever wrote this, that something had begun in you. Would you tell us, like, what was the genesis of this whole passion for prayer?
Yeah, I just got hungry to know God better, which sounds kind of so predictable and lame, but it was very real. I was waking in the night, weeping, saying, I was scared of being the guy. You know, Jesus says at the end of the age, there'll be these guys who'll present their resumes to Jesus and say, like, look at all the stuff I did for you, and he'll say, I never knew you. Yeah. I was really worried I might be that guy, because I was busy pastoring, planting churches, but my personal prayer life was pretty shallow. I outsourced my prayer to godly old ladies. Our church prayer meeting was, you know, a few old ladies and a goat, and the goat wasn't very committed. And then I was kind of getting applause in the Christian world, and yet I read the book of Acts, and what we were doing was nothing like the riots and revival, and I just got hungry. St. Augustine said, thou hast put salt on our lips that we might thirst for thee.
Wow.
And I got really thirsty. So I just started asking God, help me. And it was weird, but every path took me back to this place of prayer. The world doesn't need more products, personalities, and programs. It needs more of the presence of God. And the only way you get that is through the bended knee. So that was the beginning of my journey. And then it became something a bit bigger.
You talk about a vision you had in a place called, I wasn't even sure where this was, Cape St. Vincent.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened there? I mean, that's pretty astounding.
Sheila, honestly, for years, I didn't want to tell anyone about it because I thought they'd think I was crazy. But I was a long-haired student hitchhiking around Europe. We weren't like being religious. We were just having a really good time. And one night, my friend Nick and I ended up camped on the most southwesterly point of Europe, which is this place, Cape St. Vincent. It's pretty cool. I wish I could take you all there. It's like you've got the Mediterranean Ocean to your south. You've got the Atlantic Ocean to your west. Mm. And in the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep. And I got out and I began to try and pray. I faced south. And I thought, wow, it's Africa. I began to pray for Africa. I faced west and I began to pray for America. And then I turned with my back to those two oceans and began to pray for Europe. And imagined all those countries, Portugal, Spain, into France, Germany, you know it well. And then eventually you end up in, you know, the Middle East and China. And as I began to pray, the weirdest thing happened. And please don't write me off, but I began to shake violently. I heard this electrical sound. I thought I was being electrocuted. I didn't realize I was having a spiritual experience. I remember looking up thinking there must be like electric cables that are short circuiting through, but I was on a cliff. And by the way, if you're going to shake violently, a cliff is the worst place to do it. And then I had a vision, and my eyes were open, but I saw the pages of like an old atlas, all the different countries, and I saw this army of young people rising up out of the pages. And I don't know how long it lasted for. It was the strangest thing. And then I didn't know what to do about it. Often when God gives you something like that, it's like, where do you even start? And it was a number of years later that I got hungry for God. I began praying. Others began to join me. And that was the birth of this movement called 24/7 Prayer that we're now in over half the nations on earth. I think maybe that was a little bit of what I saw that day on that cliff in Portugal.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've lived to see that vision become a reality. How do you go, though, from, say, you and a few friends in a basement praying to suddenly the sparks going out all across the world?
Well, it is a genuine movement. I mean, everyone wants to call that thing a movement, but this really is. If you'd come to me and said, I've had this idea, we should get people praying night and day all around the world, I'd have told you that's a bad idea. You know, but we just started praying. We always say it's like God came to our prayer room and he sneezed, and then this thing just began to spread. And initially we thought, wow, we're going to fill the year 2000 with nonstop prayer, which was pretty crazy, because back then you had to go to South Korea or South America to even see anything like that. And then that was obviously over 20 years ago, and we've now been praying nonstop ever since, in multiple countries, working with everyone from the Catholic Church at the highest levels through to the good old Salvation Army at street level.
Brilliant.
So it's been a wild ride. And we're trying to connect prayer, mission, and justice, those three things together. We're not really interested in just being crazy spiritual. We're really interested in how you can be. Life is such a gift. We got to be passionate, right?
Yeah.
So how do we be passionate about Jesus, but massively relevant and attractive in the culture? That's what we're trying to work out how to do. Probably fail most of the
no,
time.
No. Prayer, mission, and justice. That is the heart of Christ. I mean, that's expressing who Christ is. You have another book, and it's called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People.
Yeah.
I love that. Tell me about that book.
Well, after 20 years of prayer, I just figured, people, everyone's asking that question. They know that prayer is the key, even if they don't go to church. All the surveys say most people pray. But the question is, how do you really do it?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to condense some of what we've learned, mostly through mistakes over 20 years, into a simple book for two types of people. Firstly, for people who are brand new to Christian faith, who are saying, okay, I guess this is the relationship. How do I hear God without kissing my brains goodbye? How do I get my head around disappointments and the fact that prayer doesn't always seem to work? And how do I see more miracles? And how do I grow in a relationship with him? But the other group of people I was writing it for was people who have been around the block a few times. You wouldn't believe how many senior Christian leaders, some of them quite famous, have come to me like Nicodemus in the night saying, my guilty secret is my prayer life. And so I wanted to help people. And Nikki Gumbel, our mutual friend, who's one of the pioneers of Alpha, he does daily devotional. It's like, I can't remember, it's got something like 2 million daily users.
I use it.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Well, he said to me, because he wrote the foreword, and he said to me, I'm so glad you've called it How to Pray. And I said, why? And he said, because the day in the year, Sheila, that is on Bible in 1 year, that is called How to Pray, is the single most downloaded day every single year, without exception. And it's not like a super, it's not Christmas Day or a super Christian day. And he said, there you have proof that that is the question we are all asking more than any other. The one day we'll all be 30 seconds before the flat line, and we better know how to have a conversation with God.
One of the things you wrote that I love, you said the point of prayer is not the power it releases, but the person it reveals.
Right.
To me, that is powerful. It's all about Jesus.
The vision is Jesus. That's it. And I think, we so easily reduce prayer to a transaction. You know, it's like a trick. like God is this big algorithm in Silicon Valley, and if we can just get the code, we can become millionaires or something. God is relational. Look at the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in relationship. Mm-hmm. In lockdown, we found out how hard it is just to be a normal family. Well, he's Trinity for eternity, and he's getting on really well with himself. So he's good at relationship, and we're not. Prayer is relational, and therefore is primarily about encountering God and growing in relationship with him. And one of the things that drives me crazy with God is I always want to know the what, the why, the how, the where, the when, and he mostly just wants to tell me he loves me. Yeah. It drives me crazy. I'm like, I need some guidance here. And he goes, you're great. Wow. So he is profoundly relational. And prayer, I do believe in miracles. I've seen a lot of miracles. Yeah. But ultimately, prayer is about a relationship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Wow. I remember I was interviewing a guy called Louis Giglio recently, and he said, if every time you fall flat on your face, you don't hear God say over your shoulder, beloved, you've missed the whole point. And I love that. Yeah. Tell me a little, what we're going to do, and I'm going to tell our viewers here, you need to stay tuned the whole way through the show, because we're going to premiere a video here of the UK blessing. Now, you had a part in that, Pete. Tell me about that.
Yeah. You know, I saw a video from Pittsburgh. Where a bunch of churches, some of your viewers will have seen this, got together and they took that beautiful blessing song that Stephen Furtick and others have written. And they just, you know, they all did it on a Zoom thing and released it to bless the city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I wept. It's so powerful. And I found one of my closest friends, a guy called Tim Hughes, who's written a lot of worship songs that people will be familiar with. And I said, Tim, we got to do this in the UK. We're broken. You know, COVID-19 is hitting us hard.
Yeah.
The church is being sidelined. And when the church does get profiled in the mainstream media, it's mostly for being critical and negative. We need to do this. And I think one or two other people, I'm sure it wasn't just because of me, but you know, said to Tim, we got to do this. Tim got together the most amazing array of worship leaders in about 10 days. And we released this song. It's like a big choir. And it's everyone. It's the Salvation Army through to the Kingdom Choir who played at the Royal Wedding, through to Hillsong and you know, just everyone. Graham Kendrick's in there. But none of their names are used. Yeah. It's beautiful.
How can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website that you direct people to, or?
Yeah, just 247prayer.com, 24-7prayer.com. And, you know, we got a lot of resources. Our job, Jesus said to us, help people pray. That's all we do. We don't charge for anything, you know, just get the stuff. Mm. There's daily devotionals on there. There's stuff to help. You know, we've had thousands and thousands of night and day prayer rooms. So whatever, however we can help you, we want to do that.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. I know people will go to the website. Also, Pete's books, Dirty Glory and How to Pray, a guide for people like me. But thank you so much for being with us. We're so grateful. And one of the things we do here at Life is that we believe that our faith has to have feet to it. So we're in the middle of drilling 350 wells around the world right now.
Wow.
And so as I thank you, I'm going to ask our viewers to take a look at this. But thank you, Pete Gregg.
We can all relate to washing dishes, but would you eat off dishes that were washed in this water? For Khun Mao, who lives in Cambodia, this water shared with livestock is all she has to clean with. Even worse, it's all she has to drink.
The water that you
we
have
asked
to drink.
Khun Mao to tell us about her water, which caused visible anguish. But once she was able to speak, this was her response.
ជីវិតខ្ញុំក៏ខ្ញុំតែសន្តិដ្ឋមិនដឹងដល់ណាទេណាមួយជាពាក់គេគេអូសតា
Tragically, Kun Mao's story is far from unique. Throughout the developing world, contaminated drinking water is a serious problem that kills millions. When we visited Kun Mao, she had already lost a 3-year-old son to waterborne illness. In the past few years, we've seen trending progress for clean water initiatives. But recent global events now threaten the compassionate support which has made these efforts possible. Because clean water saves lives. And without clean water, children die.
It is so hard to watch those pictures, but I've got to tell you, it is way harder when you're there and you're watching these mothers get this water and drink it, and the children. I mean, you can see there's animals in the river. The water is filthy, but it's literally all they've got. I don't know if it hits you like this as it does me. I cannot believe we're still dealing with this in this day and age. If you think how the world has progressed, how so many things have been alleviated, the fact that people, that children are still dying simply because there's no clean water is just wrong. And what I've seen is both sides. You know, I've walked with moms to these dirty rivers or to hand-dug wells and looked at the quality of the water. And it takes everything in me not to reach out and say don't. But it's all they've got. What a choice. But I've also gone to places where there's a well that has been dug by Partners of Life Outreach, Life Today. And I've watched the children there. It's night and day different. They're well, they're happy, they're the way children should be, they're laughing. We have made a commitment this year to put in 350 wells. You've helped us already to put in 200. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So this is for the final 150 wells. But here's the deal. If you do more, we will put more wells in because the need is astronomical. So many parts of the world. I just wonder how many tears do these mothers have to cry before we notice and do something? And maybe you're used to watching this and you think, well, I know that people will take care of it. Why don't you and I make a fresh commitment that we will take care of it? Even no matter what we've done before, that we will all do something. So for $48, you can provide clean drinking water for 10 children, basically for their lives. Most of these wells last about 70 years. If you can do more, $144 will give 30 children in a village. That's like a classroom full of clean water. Some of you would be able to do more. You would be able to put in a whole well. $4,800, that's really nothing to be able to drill a well that will give 1,000 people clean water for their lives. You know, I read somewhere, I think it was an Irish statement, and William Burke who said that all it takes for evil to flourish is for good people to do nothing. This is an evil when children have to drink that kind of water. Let's do something in Jesus' name. Call that number. Go online. Make the very best gift possible. Thank you.
Dirty, diseased-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, this is their only choice. With your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish the final 150 water wells this year. Your gift of $48 will help provide water for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15. $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. And a gift of $4,800 will help sponsor a complete well, serving up to 1,000 people. With your gift, we'll send you Today is a Good Day seasonal devotional set. Broken out into the four seasons of the year, this beautiful set features a daily scripture, inspirational thoughts, and a place for you to journal your own thoughts, prayers, and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, request the leather-bound, life-giving Proverbs Journal. filled with wisdom and daily encouragement from Proverbs, including lined pages for your personal notes. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request a Mother's Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This hand-dug well is full of contaminated water. It's the only source of water for this village. The mothers and their children, they come out here every day with their buckets and they gather water. And the mothers know there's a potential that this water will kill their children because there's all sorts of, you know, animal dung. But this is the water that is killing these children. And that is why they need a well, a drilled well that will go down deep and give fresh, clean water. This should not be normal for any child. And we want to give them a new normal in Jesus' name. Fresh, clean, safe water. If our lines are busy, keep calling. Let's make a difference in Jesus' name. Let's put our faith into action. And Pete, I just want to say thank you so much for who you are, for all you're doing. It's been great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Love it. And now, people, get your handkerchiefs out. Seriously, I've watched this video 20 times and I've sobbed and worshipped every time. We're now going to watch the UK blessing.
Lord bless you and keep you,
make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
Amen.
We pray a blessing, manna rain down from heaven. This isn't second guessing, we know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children,
and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping, your rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you.
Best-selling author Max Lucado dives into Jesus' miracles to find hope and respite for society's loneliness. Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.